The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Thursday, June 17th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Coming to you live from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where it's not a typo, it's a way of life, and pushing the buttons and turning the knobs, Ganja John.
There's a problem for me. Hey, tokers, I'm real sorry, but I had to cancel the show on Friday.
Yeah, we're having to cancel tomorrow's show. We're heading down to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, but I'm flying Alaska, which charges you if you want to, like, take clothes with you. You know, you want to take a bag. Oh, you want to fly somewhere and change clothes? Well, that'll be extra. So we're going to have Ganja John take down all the studio equipment tomorrow, but he's driving. So we got to leave early. Yeah, we got to get it all packed up so he can drive it down. No show tomorrow.
I guarantee good Saturday, Sunday shows.
Oh, yeah. Saturday, Sunday, we're going to be there all day. The doors open at the Medical Cannabis Cup at noon. The events go till, I believe, 8 at night, 10 at night, something like that. So we'll be on all day. We've got special interviews at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. On Saturday, we're interviewing federal medical marijuana patient Irv Rosenfeld. It'll be a great interview. He's got a new book out, his memoirs now.
Yeah, exactly.
And on Sunday at 2:30, we'll interview Dr. Frank Lucido, who's one of the leading medical marijuana pioneers in the state of California. Also in some news here for the show, just changing things up a little bit, no cannabis carry today.
Well, she's a little sick.
Cannabis Carrie's not with us today. She did get in a rollover accident,
I mean,
for God's sake.
Yeah, we got to give her some credit. The concussion probably finally caught up with her.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. She wanted me to let everyone know, don't worry. She's okay. She's feeling fine. She's just a little tired, a little out of it. So we're giving her the day off, and then tomorrow she'll have the day off, and over the weekend she can completely
today
recover.
Today it's the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
That's right. It's just me and John here. And we've got guests in our studio today that are listening to the show while we do it live. So the pressure is on.
Yeah, seriously.
Now, coming up on today's show, we will get to your hemp headlines. I've got some stories for you out of Las Vegas and Oregon here coming up right after this first break. At 20 after, we do our daily Toker Tunes. Today is Groovin' Thursday, and we got some great music from Head P.E. Head P.E., right, today?
Yeah, Head P.E.
Yeah, brought to us by John Doe Radio out there in Denver, Colorado. So we'll play that music at 20 after. At 30 after the hour, we're going to go down to our Southern California scene and speak with Terry Joyce. She's with American Hemptress and former with Last Comic Standing. She's got a great guest. Richard Marcellus is going to join us. He's with Hemp for Victory. He's going to tell us all about hemp and how it could clean up that oil spill in the Gulf and how much we could get away from foreign oil if we would turn to hemp biofuels.
The great 420 oil spill.
That's right, the 420 oil spill. It did happen on 420.
It happened on 420.
Makes you think Mother Nature has kind of an ironic sense of humor, huh?
Yeah.
And at 45 past the hour, some more radical ranting. I'm going to be talking about yet another California medical marijuana marijuana dispensary that is opposing legalization for people like you and me. You can imagine I've got a few things to say about that. All of that and more coming up here on Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Check us out every weekday, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, with replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9. If you want to get the downloads, they're available at stash.normal.org, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow me at Radical Russ on Twitter. We're right back after
You're
this.
Listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Radical Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal and host of Normal Show Live. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and I encourage you to visit MarijuanaDoctors.com to find a physician to help you obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in your state. In most medical marijuana states, patients qualify with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis, and other conditions which vary by state. Learn which conditions are covered in your state at MarijuanaDoctors.com. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, MarijuanaDoctors.com will help you find a physician online or by phone to obtain a permit for medical marijuana. MarijuanaDoctors.com is fully transparent and HIPAA compliant. Call 866-996-9333 today or visit MarijuanaDoctors.com. That's 866-996-9333 by phone or online at MarijuanaDoctors.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
And as I mentioned earlier, sitting in for Cannabis Carry today will be me giving you your headlines. We start with one from the Las Vegas Sun. Girlfriend mourns man shot by Vegas police over marijuana. According to the Las Vegas Sun, a man was shot to death Friday night while narcotics officers were executing a search warrant at an East Las Vegas apartment, Metro Police said. A pregnant woman was found hiding in a bedroom closet and was taken into custody, police said. Detectives then tried to enter a bathroom where the suspect was hiding. Police said the man made a, quote, furtive movement, end quote, toward a detective who fired a single shot at the man. The suspect died at the scene a short time later, police said. Captain Patrick Neville of the Metro's Robbery Homicide Bureau said Friday night, quote, "It was during the course of a warrant, and as you all know, narcotics warrants are all high-risk warrants," end quote. As we all know, huh? Well, yeah, these narcotics warrants are extremely high-risk. For the suspects, for their children, and for the pets. I mean, we did that story out of Columbia, Missouri, where the dog gets shot in the raid, and it's not the first story we've done of pets getting killed. But now we're talking about a man being killed for making a furtive movement while he's hiding in the bathroom. No weapons were found on this guy. He was no sort of a major league drug dealer or anything. He's just a guy who liked to smoke weed and get high. That's it. And rarely do these officers actually face any risk in these narcotics warrants. That's what they want you to believe, is that we've got to send the guys in with the body armor and the concussion grenades and the automatic weapons because, you know, those drug dealers, they're all like Tony Montana. They're all sitting behind there listening to F the Police by NWA, holding the Tech 9, just waiting to go down in a blaze of glory, right? Well, here's the stats on it. We've actually looked up the stats, and we found last year no police officers died serving narcotics warrants in the United States. Now, there were three officers who did die that were drug task force officers. They died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. They were DEA agents, died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. And we did have one police officer who was killed serving a warrant on someone who was caught with drugs. But the warrant was for murder, right? They're trying to catch a murderer at the time. So the fact that he got shot, not too surprising. And when we look over the past decade, the odds of an officer being killed in a narcotics raid are 1 in 350,000. 1 in 350,000 that they're going to have any sort of death in doing these raids. Now, keep in mind, these are figures for narcotics, which is everything from marijuana to coke, meth, and heroin. If we had the data just for marijuana, I can assure you the danger to the officers is far less than 1 in 350,000. They'd be more likely to be struck by lightning or win the lottery than to get shot by a cannabis user. Cannabis users are generally peaceful, nonviolent people, but they seem to think that they need to come in guns blazing to go after these folks. Now, as we get some more reports on this, the Las Vegas News just broke who the officer was as a officer named Brian Yant from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. He is on paid administrative leave, of course. And they spoke to the pregnant girlfriend who said she admitted her boyfriend used drugs, but said that he was not a threat. Quote, Trevon was a recreational smoker. He smoked weed, marijuana. That's what he did. They didn't have to kill him. End quote. And of course, the woman is 9 months pregnant with the couple's child. She goes on to say, quote, we were supposed to get married next year, plan a little black and white affair. He was all I ever knew. We were going to make it. And hey, Ganja John, let's take a bet here. Do you want to bet? You want to take a bet here that the guy who was shot and his wife, you want to bet they weren't white?
Oh, maybe they weren't.
Oh, let's go to the picture. Yes, African American. Now, you know.
So wait. So a furtive move.
Yes,
a furtive for people out there, that's anything a cop believes is suspicious.
Right.
So his furtive move may have been a skin color.
Yeah, that might have been. Yeah, he did the unfortunate complexionary furtive move. Yeah.
Right.
Such a shame. And again, this won't be the last time we tell this story. This is why decriminalization and medical marijuana aren't enough. Nevada is both a decrim and a medical state, but it's not stopping cops from breaking into people's doors and killing them over a small amount of marijuana. All right, next headline here that we'll go to. This is from right here in beautiful Potland, Oregon. This is from our Willamette Week, the weekly newspaper. Portland, Oregon is at the center of the emerging hemp businesses. Advocates say the simple act of letting Oregon farmers grow hemp could eventually bring millions of dollars into the state. Canadian farmers made more than $8 million on hemp last year, according to the Canadian Hemp Trade Alliance. Advocates in Oregon say once a homegrown U.S. hemp industry gets started, the potential profits here are far greater. But the DEA refuses, making this the only industrialized nation in the world where farmers can't grow hemp. One of the activists is quoted as saying, it's frustrating because we have the capability to do it. We could start growing it tomorrow, and we could harvest it in 6 months, and we would have instant jobs, end quote. The pressure to legalize hemp production is mounting, however, and Portland is at the center of the battle. Portland is home to the largest hemp foods manufacturer in the country. Portland venture capitalists have invested more than anyone else in the nation in companies that use hemp, pioneering new technologies for textiles. Lastly, Portland is home to one of the most prominent activists pushing for change on a national level and is soon to be home to a nonprofit helping farmers in developing countries grow the stuff. This is a great article to read. We've got the link to it up at our blog at stash.normal.org. It's a really long piece. Definitely you should read the whole thing. It goes on to talk about Living Harvest Company. That's the company based here in Portland. They make hemp milk and hemp ice cream. They've got their products in Whole Foods stores and in Fred Meyer's. And they're moving it from being, you know, kind of a niche, nutritional, go to the health food store kind of thing, and bringing hemp foods direct to the marketplace, right to the grocery aisle, where mainstream America is going to get the benefits of all those amazing omega-6s, omega-3s, the greatest protein seed that we can get for human consumption. But also, the article goes on to talk about the Kralar fabric. This is the, you know, when we produce hemp fabrics, normally they're really coarse. They're kind of like burlap, right? It's not the kind of thing you'd want to wear as a t-shirt or something. But this new process called Kralar is a way of making the hemp fibers as soft and supple as cotton. And this is a big breakthrough because cotton uses 50% of all of the world's water. When we're talking about producing producing crops, cotton uses enormous amounts of water and enormous amounts of pesticides that, of course, are harmful to plants and animals and people, right? So being able to replace cotton with hemp is going to be an amazing change in this country. Another part that they get to in this article is talking about hempcrete, and we had the guy on who talked about hempcrete. He was amazing.
Yeah, that stuff is absolutely incredible. It's carbon neutral. You know, you don't have to even have heat in your house if you use this stuff.
Yeah, in fact, he's better than carbon neutral. They're talking about in the article how carbon negative because it locks up more carbon in building it than it does in growing it.
Right.
Right.
So continues to create oxygen 8 years after it's set.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and he talks about how they make these hempcrete buildings. And they stay cool in the summer and warm in the winter. Very, very efficient. I think the insulation was like an R24
right,
or something.
Right,
it was
something
just
like that.
Ridiculous as far as how efficient it is. But again, the whole reason why we can't jump into this most amazing plant with all of these job potential and all of this economic potential and ecological potential, you know, saving our planet, is because of marijuana, right? Because it's related to marijuana that people smoke to get high, and smoking to get high is bad, so therefore we can't hemp. Can't have hemp, right? Even though the hemp, of course, could never get you high, and never, you know, in a million years. And the fact that people that are growing commercial marijuana for recreational or medical uses don't want hemp anywhere near it, because it would cross-pollinate their crops and make them weaker. So if you really hated cannabis, you should be embracing hemp. It would be the thing to get rid of those outdoor grows in your cities and your countrysides if there were massive fields of hemp there to cross-pollinate. But again, it's not like our country's had any sense when it comes to our drug laws anyway. All right, here, one more story. And again, this story comes to us right here from Oregon, and this is news from our Board of Pharmacy. Oregon reschedules cannabis as a Schedule II drug. The Oregon State Board of Pharmacy acted yesterday to remove marijuana from the list of Schedule I controlled substances in accordance with a bill the legislature passed last year. The new law, ORS 475-059, established by Senate Bill 728, requires marijuana's removal from a list of controlled substances that have a, quote, high abuse potential and no accepted medical use in the United States, end quote. The board placed marijuana into Schedule II controlled substances, which contain substances that have a, quote, high abuse potential with severe psychological or physical dependence liability, end quote, but are accepted for medical use in the U.S. and are available by prescription. The Oregon Controlled Substances Act provides three additional schedules for substances that are progressively less serious or dangerous, Schedules 3, 4, and 5. The board reviewed scientific and medical literature and heard testimony from experts and members of the public before voting to move marijuana into Schedule 2. This action is consistent with Oregon's assertion that marijuana does have an acceptable medical use. Okay, yeah, it was the least they could do. Literally, it was the very least they could do. The least amount of action they could do was to move it one schedule down from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2. Now, yesterday, and remember, moving it to Schedule 2 puts it in the same category as cocaine, meth, fentanyl, morphine, and OxyContin. So they want you to believe marijuana has as much abuse potential and severe psychological and physical dependence liability as coke, meth, fentanyl, morphine, and OxyContin, right? So right off the bat, it's ridiculous. But hey, if we can move it from one to two, that's a good thing. But it should have been moved off the schedule altogether. The schedule of controlled substances are there for substances that have abuse potential and severe dependence. We have found that marijuana has the least amount of dependence of any of the recreational drugs and less than many of the commonly prescribed drugs as well. And as far as abuse potential, the possibility of abusing these drugs, abuse really has to do with drugs that have a quick onset time, that have a quick ability to develop a tolerance to those drugs, and have severe withdrawal symptoms. Marijuana does not qualify in any way in any of those categories. But understanding that they were never politically going to be able to take it off the schedule, they should have at least moved it to Schedule 3, and I'll tell you why. There is a pill called Marinol. It is 100% THC suspended in sesame oil. It is a concentrated preparation of cannabis, but just the THC part, it's Schedule 3. So for some reason, we're supposed to believe the natural plant cannabis that might be 10 to 15% THC needs to be more restricted than the 100% THC Marinol pill at Schedule 3. And again, let me come back to my notion of the pills that I'm on. I take a prescription pill called Loveza, which is a concentrated fish oil. It's a controlled substance. You must get a prescription for it. But the fish oil that you can get down at the nutrition store over in the grocery aisle at Whole Foods, that's not a controlled substance because it is less concentrated. It is much safer. The same should apply to cannabis. If it's in its less concentrated natural form, how can it possibly be more dangerous than its more concentrated, highly psychoactive form? And we've also got to consider that when you're ingesting that Marinol, that THC pill, ingesting marijuana, ingesting THC is much more psychoactive than smoking it. It's converted in your stomach by an enzyme that converts it to something called 11-hydroxy-THC, which is nine times more psychoactive than the Delta-9 THC that you can smoke. So Marinol, even in its use, is more psychoactive than someone just smoking the Schedule II cannabis. It's ridiculous. However, the change is still a positive. It is going to change the sentencing outcomes for lots of so-called marijuana crimes, because now it's no longer Schedule I, it's Schedule II. It's more like having a drug without a prescription than having an illegal drug, you know, as far as the punishments go. But it's not going to change much about our medical marijuana, because we haven't been relying on prescriptions anyway. Prescriptions are controlled at the federal level, and Oregon's medical marijuana program, like most of them, relies on the doctor's recommendation, which is a free speech right that cannot be abrogated by the federal government. So that's the news there. That's all of our headlines for Oregon. Check out all of the writing on this and the links to the original sources at stash.normal.org. Okay, time for one of those special breaks. Ganja John and I will be back. We got some Groovin' Thursday music coming up from Head PE and Terry Joyce at the bottom of the hour. Stick around.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com. Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bomb smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
22 after the hour. Remember, everyone, there will be no Normal Show Live tomorrow, Friday. We're taking the day off while Ganja John travels down to San Francisco for the Medical Cannabis Cup. Check us out, though. Special time on Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time, for your live streaming coverage of High Times' first Medical Cannabis Cup, the first Cannabis Cup, official Cannabis Cup in the United States. We'll see you there this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But again, no Normal Show Live tomorrow.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show in Denver, Colorado. Accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org or mail your CD to Normal Outreach, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe. John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. Head was formed in 1994 by rapper and current lead singer Jared Gomez, who is also known as MC Underdog, and by guitarist Wes Geer. In the same year, they released their first album, Church of Realities, and sold it just like you'd think any other first-year band would do out of the car trunks and gear vans that took them to their local shows in Cali. Head also that year added PE to their names because of legal battles. Head stood for Higher Thought, and the newly added PE stood for Planet Earth. Combined, you got Head PE and a whole lot of craziness. Built from the mid-90s punk scene in Orange County, California, somewhere along the line, the ingredients got mixed up. Heavy metal, rap, reggae, and punk all combined to make an amazingly and crazily energetic live show. Crazily is a word. I looked it up. Otherwise, I was still going to add it right here to my Stoner JDR dictionary. The first big-ticket live concert show I saw was my sophomore year in high school. The lineup was Slipknot, Mudvayne, Taproot, and Head PE. It was my first exposure to a mosh pit, and I had never seen anything like it in my life. Long story short, I was sore for, I think, 2 weeks after the show and probably gave myself whiplash, but I was exposed to something other than school and jazz and orchestra concerts. It was something of a whole new world. Little did I still know at the time, though, how embedded drugs were into this side of music culture, and not always just the innocent Mary Jane, unfortunately. But in 2007, lead singer MC Underdog was arrested for marijuana possession in Connecticut, so that gives him a good reason to fight the good fight. Head PE was first signed in 97 to Jive Records and eventually found their way to their current home with Suburban Noise Records in 2006. Seven studio albums and one live pressing later, they are still touring and may be near you. You check them out if you get the chance. One of my favorite live bands, Head PE, for Smokers Only. I'm John Doe. Till we meet again, see ya.
Throw that fire in the air.
You love the 808 boom, but if you don't like the smoke, then get the fuck out my room. All of my smokers tonight, put up your bongs and your pipe. Just grab your lighters, ignite the fire, and get higher tonight. It's a special occasion, so you know that we blazing. Your flow is amazing, not the normal Caucasian. All the girls get your heart bent. You think I'm with Clark Kent? Was raised in a place where everybody grows to pay rent. So I'm a little different, sorry, excuse me. While you were playing with your toys, we were blazing on doobies. Got the groupies in the back and they all waiting to blow. Sucking isn't smoke control, you know the way that it go. And if you don't, just leave, bonus, more weed for me. Me and my big smoke tree, since learning ABCs, this is what smokers on me. And don't you ever forget, if you don't like the smoke, then turn the speaker song off, bitch.
This is for smokers only.
Grab your bone, get your light, get your papers, get your pipe, and roll a blunt and get high.
This is for smokers only.
If you ain't smoking, then leave. Please believe, if you don't smoke trees, you ain't on my team.
This is for smokers only.
Grab your bone, get your light, get your papers, get your pipe, and roll a blunt and get high.
This is for smokers only.
If you ain't smoking, then leave. Please believe, if you don't smoke trees, you ain't on my team.
I'd like to wake and bake, puff on a chronic blunt. I'm driving out of state, a couple pounds up in the trunk. So holla out, I feel ya, scream if it sounds familiar. We in the smoking circle, passing blunts around the killer. Look like a thug, think like a drug dealer. I got a motherfucker, nobody gon' keep it realer. This one's for smokers only, potheads and blurry vision. No room for phonies, tattletales of people snitching. You know I'm on this, ish, another song to rip. I'm just an honest kid, trying to find a bone to hit. You're feeling negative, go smoke a joint and make it right. It's like a sedative, trust me, it'll change your life.
This is for smokers only.
Grab your bone, get your light, get your papers, get your pipe, and roll a blunt and get high.
This is for smokers only.
If you ain't smoking, then leave. Please believe, if you don't smoke trees, you ain't on my team.
This is for smokers only.
Okay, this is for smokers only.
Okay, this is for smokers only.
Smokers only.
Throw that fire in the air.
Before they say there was again from back in the day. He got so high on hydro, yo, he floated away. And no, he never came back. That
some Head PEA first. Head PE. What the hell am I trying to say?
Head Planet Earth.
Head Planet Earth, right. Head PE for smokers only here on your
Daily Tech Routine. I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, folks, time to check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Today, Thursday, June 17th, a House committee discussion on Michigan's medical marijuana program is taking place at the state capitol on the third floor in the House Appropriations Room 352. Michigan Normal will be there representing. Vukmir Unappreciation Protest is taking place at Madison's. Check the calendar for details. Schoolcraft County Normal in Michigan is meeting at Hypnotic Hydroponics in Manistique, Michigan. And Philly Normal in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is having their meeting at the A Space on Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They meet on the first and third Thursdays of every month. Check out phillynormal.org for details. On Saturday, June 19th, the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup takes place in San Francisco, California. Ganja John and I will be there all day bringing new events streaming live at live.normal.org. Also on Saturday, June 19th, the Clark Park Arts and Music Festival is taking place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Philly Normal will be tabling there. Stop on by, grab some information, and get involved with Philly Normal. Central Ohio Normal is having their meetup at Panera Bread on High Street. How appropriate. In Columbus, Ohio, you can call 614-262-5200 for more information. Also on Saturday, Kansas City Normal's public meeting is taking place at the Westport Coffee House in Kansas City, Missouri. Check out kcnormal.org and welcome their new president, Heath Poland, to lead Kansas City Normal. On Sunday, June 20th, the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup continues with the actual award show taking place at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And again, we'll be covering that live here at Normal Show Live. And Normal Louisiana is having their online chat meeting. Check out normallouisiana.org for all the information. And to get more information on any of these events, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that. But finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Normal Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow
away. 3-2 after the hour, we'll be back after this with Terry Joyce. Give us just a few more minutes.
I'm gonna leave this plastic place to your plastic jubilees and travel to a better place. Travel to a better place. Travel to a better place instead.
The Normal PAC, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Weed.
That's Hooey Valley, Hooey Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
All right, it's great to have Terry on the phone, and I sure hope you're there. This is hard to do without Carrie. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Hooray, we made the connection. Carrie is off today, and she usually handles all the call routing, so we're trying to do it here in the studio on the fly, and it looks like it worked.
My arms went up in the air there. I don't know. You guys didn't see that, but I was pretty excited.
So, Terry, how's everything going?
Everything is going really great. I had an interesting experience. You know, I'm growing my first plant. And I'm very excited. And, you know, I live in West Hollywood, which is a sanctuary city. You can actually smoke marijuana on the street, although I have to say I'm still afraid to actually really try it.
Right.
But I went to a hydroponic plant place and, you know, really thinking that, oh, you know, we're so progressive here. I jumped in. I said, hey, you know, I see you guys are open and I got my first marijuana plants. And, you know, and he looks at me and he says, yeah, he says, we grow basils and cherries here, cherry tomatoes.
Oops.
And, you know, I felt like I was the girl, like, who, like, you know, brought, like, the lube and the dildos to the wrong party, you know.
Well, okay.
So, you know, and I was like, oh, all right. And I'm thinking, well, and he goes, we're legally not allowed to discuss growing marijuana here. I thought, well, do we talk in code? Do I go, oh, well, what can I have to put into the soil to give me some really, really big, juicy, plump cherry tomatoes, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Isn't it sad? I mean, it's kind of like the old, you know, you can't say bong in the head shop kind of thing. You know, it's again, because marijuana is illegal and these guys that are running these hydroponic shops, they don't want to get busted by the cops. It's just, it's stupid. We all know it's stupid. But good for you, Terry, on growing a plant. Now, at this point, we got to try to get your guest on the line. And since we don't have a call handler,
absolutely,
I'm just going to have to dial right now. So we're going to dial right now and let Skype do the ringy here. And we'll see if we
can. Do you have the cell phone number? Because that was, that's what we really
does
need
not
to do.
Accept like, incoming calls.
Oh, no.
Message CA2.
Well, and I lost Terry when I did that too. Oh my goodness. All right,
we'll edit all this out. Sorry, Terry, we lost you.
We'll get Terry back on the line here. We're having so much fun here running it live. Carrie, we miss you. We need you, Carrie.
This is a well-oiled machine that includes Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie.
That's right.
And Russ is the engine, and we're the wheels.
I'm running a train with half the wheels.
Yeah, we lost the back axle.
Okay, it sounds like we're connecting to Terry. Hi, Terry. We got you back. Okay, so I tried that number for Richards there. This was the one that had a 202 in the middle of it, and doesn't seem to be answering.
Was it a 202-7165?
Yeah. So let me give that another try here. We'll see if we can add that in. I'll give it one more shot. But Terry, tell folks about your American Hemptress. What's happening with that show right now?
Well, American Hemptress, unfortunately right now, it's got a little bit of hanging in the balance right now.
Oh, really?
I hate to admit it, but there are actually some, a few, it's a slight bit unstable as to the direction as where it's going to go. Although I do have some good news, and I'm really excited to talk about this, is that I'm going to be working with Cannabis Times Magazine.
Oh, great.
And also launching a a weekly radio online show with a co-host. His name is Justin. He's one of the wise guys who writes articles. They're all very. It's a very smart magazine. I'm impressed, and I'm really happy to be a part of it. So I'm going to be working on that, and also it's going to be launching an online campaign with shows. It's going to have like cooking shows, online shows, and I'm going to be able to produce a couple of online shows and create them, and you know, the comedy portion, entertainment aspect of cannabis. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's excellent. We'll get all those links posted up on our blog. You email them to me, and we'll make sure that they get posted. We're going to try Richard's number one more time here and see what we can get.
Maybe we can try his home number. I mean, I know he gave me the home number too.
Well, this one sounds like it's ringing. We'll be speaking with Richard Marcellus here once we get him on the line.
Richard Marcellus is a little bit of history on him. He has been, he was friends with Jack Hare 30 years ago.
Hello, can we speak with Richard?
Speaking.
Hello, Richard. It's Russ Belville from Normal. Thanks for getting on the line with us. I'll let Terry go ahead and take care of the intro.
Richard, we're so glad we had a little bit. Hi. We were hanging out last night together, actually. So it's good to see you again. Richard is Richard Marcellus is famous. He is a historian of everything. Well, you tell everybody about yourself.
Well, actually, I'm right in the middle of doing something. Could you give me about a minute, and then I could talk to you?
Okay.
So just entertain the troops for a minute, and I'll be right back with you.
You got it, Richard.
I'll be right back.
So, Terry, tell us all about Richard and his background, since he's a little busy.
Okay. Actually, he was with Jack Hare back in 30 years ago, and they were a group of people that wanted to believe that hemp could heal the planet, and there was a lot of false beliefs surrounding marijuana and hemp, and he's part of the real pioneers of what we're doing right now. So
I'm back. I took care of business. We're good. Talk to me.
All right.
Can
well,
you hear me?
Richard, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about your views on hemp. You're with the Hemp for Victory people, and you worked a lot with Jack Herer. Terry was telling me in an email that you had all sorts of great ideas about this Gulf oil spill and using hemp to clean it up.
Well, actually, not so much. Well, we could clean it up. But here's the thing. We don't need oil. Hemp can do it all. We can become completely energy independent very easily by just growing hemp, the hemp plant, the marijuana plant. What it is, it's the most versatile plant known to man. What we can do is we can get energy from the biomass, methanols, and then the oil from the seed, the hemp seed oil, can be recatalyzed back into gasoline. Gasoline. What we're doing to the planet is atrocious. You know, that big oil spill down in the Gulf, we have wounded the planet. It's bleeding. And this is going to come back to haunt all of us. Mm-hmm. And you see all this advertisement on television where they're still talking about oil. They want us, the oil companies want us to stay dependent on oil. This is a crime. We don't need this. We need alternative choices. Yeah. How are we doing out there? Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yeah, we completely agree with you, Richard, on that. And I was wondering if you might have any stats or figures on just how much we can produce per acre or some of the benefits we can get from hemp as a fuel.
Okay, well, here's the thing about growing hemp as a fuel. It can be grown on marginal land that's good for nothing else. As Jack Hill used to say, the hemp plant is the King Kong of plants. There's over 3.5 million plants, and this one plant is amazing. It'll grow farther north and farther south than any other plant. It'll grow in higher altitudes known to any other plant. It's drought resistant. Back in the 1850s, Australia was going through a major drought. What saved it was growing hemp for food, for the fiber, for the medicine, for everything. You know, Jack Hare's book, The Upper Wears No Clothes, this book, let me tell you briefly the mechanics of this book. It was first released in June 1985, and now at this point, this book has sold about 1 million copies worldwide, and because of it, Australia, Canada, Germany, England, and several other countries is now growing industrial hemp. It's changing the world, and that's why we hear about it today. Mm-hmm. Woody Harrelson talks about it because he read Jack's book. Willie Nelson, the same thing. What has happened since with the release of Jack's book in June of 85, that was a catalyst. That was a seed. That was the birth of the modern hemp movement. People that thought they'd never come on a board are suddenly now some of our biggest supporters and leaders. You know, the hemp movement is one of the biggest political movements in the world. Mm-hmm. And at least talked about on mainstream media.
Yeah. You know, and something, you know, that, I always, right? like to talk about when we get into this hemp discussion is the activism around it, because there seems to be people who are strictly hemp activists, and they almost have a disdain for people who are trying to legalize recreational cannabis, feeling like maybe it demeans the hemp message or something like that. Do you have any feelings one way or another about legalizing just hemp, or should we just legalize the entire plant regardless of THC percentage? What are the pros and cons? Do you see them?
We got to do the whole spectrum, my friend. We got to do the whole spectrum. You know, we're cutting down our forests at an incredible rate around the world. Every second, we lose 1 acre of forest on the planet. In these 3 seconds, we lost 3 football-sized fields of trees that we need. Trees clean the atmosphere. They are the lungs of the planet. And we're killing them. We're cutting them down. We don't need to cut down another tree. We can grow. It takes 20 years to grow one crop of trees for paper. We can grow 3 crops a year of paper from hemp on marginal land that nothing else can grow on. And the best thing about it is the hemp plant is self-fertilizing. As the older leaves fall to the ground, they become a mulch where it actually feeds the ground, the plant, and revitalizes it. They've found time and again through history that they start growing hemp in an area that's marginal. Suddenly, it becomes more bountiful. The land becomes better. It brings animals back. It revibrates the whole thing. Mm. It's a natural gift from the gods.
Yeah. Well, let me put it to you this way, Richard. What if they waved a magic wand here in America and industrial hemp was completely legal, but recreational cannabis was still as illegal as it is today? How does recreational cannabis being illegal hurt hemp in any way, or would it?
Well, because the police look at it as marijuana. Marijuana is marijuana. We got to eradicate it all. They don't make distinctions among anything. All they see is it's bad, it's evil, we got to protect the people. No, they're only protecting their own interests. You know, I've been involved in this for 30 years of my life. I got involved in January 1980, and way back then the cops used to say, well, if you make it illegal, we won't bother you. Well, we have made it legal for medical patients, and what are they doing? They're still arresting medical marijuana patients, shutting down these buyers clubs. We are not the criminals. They are the criminals. It's criminal what they're doing.
Completely agreed. Well, Richard Marcellus, we thank you for joining us here on the show. Do you have a website or email or any sort of contact you'd like to get out for our listeners if they want to help you legalize hemp?
I'd like to say that I do, but I don't at the moment.
Okay.
But there are different websites around for Jack Hara. And my name is scattered throughout the Internet. I did a thing with Comedy Central about 4 years ago. Cross Balls, you can look that up. I did Hemp for Victory, a TV show.
Yeah.
10 years, I did 66 shows.
Oh, wow.
So some of those are playing around the Internet. And I've been on guests on other shows. And I'm very well known. I'm very well known and respected within the hemp movement. You know why, my friend? Because I did it from the heart. I've never made a penny from this. It's cost me money to be here.
Right on.
But I stick with it. You know, I don't have to question my sanity. I have no sanity. Believe me. We're speaking for a plant that people, you know, are willing to put their lives on the line for a plant that can't speak to it, but yet it does.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your hard work. We appreciate it. And Terry Joyce, again, thank you for bringing us another great guest here. And we got to bid you adieu, but we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Thanks, Terry.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you very much for that. Terry, thank you. Goodbye.
All right. 48 After the Hour. We're right back after this with a little radical ranting.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it.
Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
They heal the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
Hear me say,
free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 10 minutes to go here in the show. Before I get off on the rant, let me remind you about our current giveaway. We've got two packs of three CDs for you, ready to be given away absolutely free. Something for everyone. Ian Lloyd's In the Land of O Depot, some great rock and roll music. Chief Greenbud's first eponymous album with 12 tracks of country parody ganja music. And an EP from Nuff Said called Head Stash. This is a rap group. So you got rap, you got country, you got rock. Two sets of these, I'm giving them away to the first listeners who email me at stash@normal.org with a picture of you with a protest sign in public. You and a protest sign in public protesting for marijuana legalization. The first two that send them to me, you will get those three CDs. All right, let's get to the ranting here. I want to talk about a story that just came up in the Sacramento Bee. I saved it for last because I really wanted to rant about this. The co-founder of one of Sacramento's original medical marijuana dispensaries isn't high on the notion of legalizing marijuana for recreational use in California. With her husband, Brian Davies, Lynette Davies founded the Canacare Dispensary, a medical cannabis outlet with a Christian theme. Well, that makes a lot of sense to me because, you know, I can't remember if it was the book of Matthew or the book of Luke where Jesus calls upon the sick to come into him and be healed. But if any healthy people came unto him, he called for the Roman centurions to take him away and lock him in a cage, right? Yeah, I seem to remember that in the Bible. Anyway, as we're going on, Davies says she now heads an advocacy group for medical marijuana patients called Crusaders for Patients' Rights. Under that group's name, she is writing voter pamphlets urging no votes on the November initiative to legalize marijuana beyond medical use and allow local governments to tax and regulate pot sales. Uh-huh. Well, seeing as they're good Christians and all, I'm sure their opposition can't be rooted in an I got's mine selfish concern for their own business. I mean, it can't be that they're worried about having trouble selling their ounces for $300 when any adult's allowed to grow their own for about $12.50 an ounce. It can't be that. It's got to be some better reason that Jesus would approve of. Let's see what she says. Davies takes issue with proponents' arguments that marijuana should be taxed and regulated like alcohol. Quote, "Doctors do not write recommendations because they know cannabis is safer than booze, as suggested by the Tax Cannabis 2010 office," she writes. "Doctors write recommendations for cannabis because they care that people are suffering from illness and disease. They know cannabis is safer than conventional synthetic pharmaceuticals. Help us stop the bigotry and prejudice against patients. Medicine is not a vice," end quote. Okay, so let me get this straight. Doctors recommend cannabis because it's safer than synthetic pharmaceuticals, but you think it's bigotry to point out that it's also safer than alcohol. You know, I've seen enough of this I'm a patient, not a criminal attitude. The only reason there is any prejudice against cannabis patients is because we define cannabis use as a crime in the first place. Here we present to you the first viable chance California has had to erase that distinction, to remove the stigma of cannabis use for everyone, and Ms. Davies wants to keep that stigma in place. Look, if none of us are criminals, there is no vice with which to smear patients. No, medicine is not a vice. I completely agree with you. But neither is the responsible use of cannabis by adults for personal reasons. But, you know, this allegedly Christian Ms. Davies seems to think Jesus would approve of continuing to punish healthy people who use cannabis. She seems to need the concept of the dirty, sinful, dope-smoking criminal to persist so she can feel like the righteous patient by comparison. The story continues. She also argues that the initiative does nothing to reform practices of cities and counties that aggressively exclude medical marijuana establishments. She questions, quote, "Do you honestly think that cities and counties that will not allow a patient to obtain cannabis are going to open the door to recreational use when this measure expressly states they don't have to?" End quote. Okay. I'm sorry. You thought that a measure to legalize marijuana so no adult needs to fear arrest and life disruptions for possessing a little cannabis and growing a few plants, you thought that was supposed to make it easier for you to open up a few more $300 an ounce dispensaries? All right, let me get this straight. You're upset because the cities and counties that harass medical users and arrest personal users now will continue to be unfriendly to cannabis users after the initiative passes. You're upset that the cities and counties that don't allow medical or personal sales now will not allow those sales after the initiative passes. But in the meantime, those cities and counties will not be able to continue arresting personal marijuana users. So really, the only difference is you're upset that healthy marijuana smokers won't be arrested anymore. Right. What would Jesus do? Indeed. All right, got a little treat here. We're going to run a little bit long because I've run out of gas on that rant. And I have a video that I wanted to show people from the time we had up in Aspen at the Owl Farm. This is the home of Hunter S. Thompson. His widow, Anita Thompson, invited us there for a cookout. And turned out that we brought some Portland weather with us as the cookout was completely rained out. In fact, in the video, you'll be able to hear the raindrops hitting the tent. But one of the bonuses here is that one of the members of the Normal Board of Directors, Bill Panzer, got up on stage to jam on guitar, and he brought me along with him to jam on bass. Here we are doing a song that you'll recognize from our regular Daily Toker Tunes Megamix. It's Normal Board's Bill Panzer and me, Radical Russ, doing Growing Marijuana in My Yard.
Do a tune now. These guys are going to help me out. They've never done it before. But, it's my wife's request. And before I do it, I would just want to say that a little somber news. We recently lost a true pillar of this movement. And if I could just have a moment, just everybody think of Jack Herrera, an Albany man. And the song, it's written by a member of the NLC, Ben Scales, out of Asheville, North Carolina. And I'd like to send this out there to Jack. It's called I'm Growing Marijuana in My Yard. I'm
Growing marijuana in my yard. That's courtesy of Craig Barish and Southern California Normal. We got the video posted up at our blog at stash.normal.org if you want to check out the whole thing. And again, we'll see you this weekend as we go out to the Medical Cannabis Cup.
Get pumped, Russ.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man.
It's gonna, as Danny Danko told me yesterday, it's going to be epic. And if you told me 6 months ago that Danny Danko was going to say, "I'm excited to smoke with you, John," I would have done something to screw it up.
That's right. We'll be down there all weekend, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. for the Medical Cannabis Cup. For Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie getting well, I'm Radical Russ. Take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.